The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome back to Mind Pump. Please subscribe to our awesome show so you can hear some of these incredibly informational topics.
And is it really awesome, though?
It's pretty awesome. It's I've been told it's Howard Stern meets fitness. I mean, yeah, I know. I go right for the fucking top, huh? I've been told we're a lot like the fucking number one guy.
Pretty much. So we're speaking to the four of you that are listening to us.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I want? You know what subject I want to go into? So one of us sitting here had an experience maybe a week or two ago on a stage.
Where is he going? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Adam,
okay, experience.
Adam just
that cancels me out.
Yeah. Adam just finished competition physique for the first time. He was on the Olympia stage.
Not the Olympia stage.
What was it?
No, we were down at
God, what a dick.
He was doing his first pro performance. Yeah, his first pro.
That's what I meant.
Competition.
It was my pro debut.
Pro debut. Sorry. Yeah. I got confused.
Hey, it's right to the Olympia. I'm glad where your mind's at, though. That's where I'm trying to go to. That's
so you just competed in your first pro competition as a physique competitor.
Correct.
So what's that all about? So I've been to competitions. I've watched them. But I want to know what it's like backstage. I want to know what it's like with the other competitors. Who puts the oil on you?
Yeah. Okay,
do you get afraid of getting a boner on stage wearing little bikini tights?
First of all, let's start about men's physique has only been around since 2012, I believe.
Why did they create men's physique?
Okay, that's a great question, too.
Why not just bodybuild?
So bodybuilding has it had a peak, right? So after Arnold, there was this huge flux of new fans. Before that, I mean, bodybuilding has been around forever, right? I mean, you would know probably the beginning even better than I would. So it's been around forever. But during Arnold Schwarzenegger time, he was the first like personality.
Schwarzenegger's like Jesus.
He is.
So like it's like BC AD, like before Christ.
Absolutely.
We're like Schwarzenegger time. We know exactly when that happened.
It's kind of neat that we were there before, right? Or we were there afterwards and we got to see it happen. We were, you know, kids growing up when it was going on, right? So anyways, what happened was you saw it grew, right? Now it became commercialized. Now it was kind of a cool thing to do. Before, you were like a circus act. You were weird.
Yeah,
you were weird if you did things like that. Well, now, you know, after Arnold, it became kind of hip. But then it got to the point where bodybuilding got so extreme that in the last 10 years, you've actually seen a decrease and just viewers and magazine subscriptions.
So what do you mean by extreme? I mean, I know what you mean by extreme, but there's going to be some listeners that...
So, okay, perfect example. Arnold Schwarzenegger was, you know, massive of his time. Arnold Schwarzenegger would get his ass kicked and handed to him by Phil Heath and by Jay Cutler and some of your ex-Olympians now.
He was what? When on stage, I think he was what? 6'2", 230 pounds?
Yeah.
Shredded like or lean, I should say, lean?
Yeah.
If you're 6'2 now on stage,
you
need to weigh like 280.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So,
right? Okay.
And what's happened is, and it's not the bodybuilder's fault, right? Because it's what the audience wanted to see. It was always cooler to see the next big guy, you know, the bigger guy, who was bigger. And it turned into this whole thing now where these guys have to take so much hormones to get to that size. And it's hormones, by the way, in bodybuilding have been around since the beginning of time also. All those guys, those people, it's funny too. So those people think that Arnold Schwarzenegger was all natural.
And no.
Everybody took hormones in bodybuilding.
No, the first Mr. Olympia, Larry Scott, he took Dianabol.
They used to be able to get it prescribed from their doctor. It wasn't like, and so anyways, you've just now seen time that they've just taken it to the next level and they're continuing because they're honestly, we don't have any anything that shows that taking these crazy amounts of testosterone have any long-term effects. We don't have anybody that's been taking them this for, mm-hmm. you know, grams of synthetics on a weekly basis for long periods of time. We don't have any generations to show how dangerous it could be. And all these guys tend to be living and being fine. So you just see them continuing to push the limits mm-hmm. and get further and further and further and get crazier and crazier. And it's gotten so crazy that it's shrunk the amount of people that are interested in it.
Yeah, it's like a cult sport, a small group of hardcore fans, and that's it.
Yeah, because you want to get crazy like that too, but a majority of the population, I think, and I know this was a long-winded answer for what you just asked me with the whole men's physique, but this is why I believe, and I'm pretty sure it has evolved, is because the physique look is a much more obtainable look. You could actually be a natural guy and get that physique. Mm-hmm. Now, do a lot of people still use? Oh, absolutely. But it's an obtainable.
It's more, what's the word?
Realistic.
Commercial.
Cover worthy.
Yeah. Commercial.
Yeah. Well, it's more appealing. It's more appealing to the average.
Yeah. Cause the average woman, especially the average woman, looks at a pro bodybuilder. What are the first thing they say?
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Gross. You saw that shift where women are just like, oh,
that's disgusting.
Yeah, they're mortified by it too. So, and there still is a small percentage of people that disagree, but it's very small. And mm-hmm. so by going to men's physique, it's a much broader population.
They judge differently then, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. In fact,
so if you're too big,
my second show. My very first show that I ever did was the first time I'd ever pushed my body that extreme. I got extremely ripped. I was, 2% body fat at maximum. And I was just shredded to the bone. Well, when I came up on stage, the judges told me that I was too conditioned. And I was trying too hard. And I was like, oh, crap, I was too ripped. So my second show, I decided, okay, I'm going to come in a little fuller and a little softer. So I bumped up the calories. I came on stage. I hit stage about 8 to 10 pounds heavier. And that show, I didn't even place in the top 5. The previous show, I'd finished 4th and 2nd place. And then this show, I finished in 6th place. Then it cracked the top 5. And the response I got from the judges was, I was too big. I was like a bodybuilder.
Oh.
So literally 8 pounds difference of me putting 8 to 10 pounds on
very
my
very objective frame. Information yeah. they're giving me there.
It is. It is. And we could talk a whole other episode just about all that stuff too. But, overall, what they're trying to do, the image they're looking for is they don't want to start to creep into bodybuilding. So if you start to look too bodybuilderish, where you look mm-hmm. big, and by bodybuilderish,
and you don't even pose when you're on stage, you don't flex, you don't do back double bicep.
I mean,
men's
physique. This is it. When you get out there, we have like a little walk, and it mm-hmm. reminds me of what a T walk is for women for their bikinis. You walk out, and then you come out in a little T, and you do your little turns. You mm-hmm. let the judges see you from the front, the side, the back, and you turn back, and you wave, and you leave.
Right. And you blow them a kiss.
Yeah, I do that. That's right.
Do you really?
That's my move. Yeah. Oh, okay. At least Justin's watched one of my shows.
I have. I was there. So, support this guy.
That is how it works. And if you get to a point where, like I said, you get too big. Now, especially at the amateur and the national level. Now, at the professional level, the way they look at it is the typical guy takes a few years to be able to even make it to the professional level. And by that time, he's got a lot of muscle maturity. He's put some time on the iron. Mm-hmm. And so they expect the size of the guy to be a little bit bigger. So you can definitely have normally I'm used to being the biggest guy on stage and more concerned about looking too big mm-hmm. Next to my other competitors, where I looked like an average guy at the professional level. Mm-hmm. Professional level, there was a couple guys that were much larger than me. Most guys were built similar as far as muscle size.
So who oils you up? I'm honest to God. I've always wanted to know.
So there's always like a company that is, and I forget the name of the company that was just here done.
Okay, I'm going to Google it. What?
There's normally a couple girls, probably 3 or 4 girls that they have their rubber gloves on, and they got this little spray thing, and they call it glazing. So you get glazed before you hit stage. That's what it's called.
Don't Google glazing. Yeah. Don't Google girls and glazing at the same time. I promise you, you're not going to find girls that oil guys in the body.
So I'll tell you, that was not my weirdest experience. If you want to talk about glazing, getting ready for a show, and my whole, so here was the weirdest one. So check this out. So this is the first time. Now I've tanned before in a tanning salon. I've even done the little automated spray tan things, right. But I've never had somebody spray me.
Oh, okay. That airbrush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Airbrush
so I've never been airbrushed tan before. So let me tell you my first experience with that. So I go to my first show, and it's in Sacramento, and I go through a company that is off-site there. So most all shows, they have one company who comes in and they spray a lot of the competitors within the location. But then if you want to save a couple bucks, or maybe you know somebody else who you like the way they tan or their formula better, you can tan outside. That there's nothing that says you can't do that. So I typically like to do my own thing. I don't like to be where everybody else is. It's just, I like to be the guy who's kind of doing my own thing, right? So I'm signed up with somebody else to go do this. Well, I get the address of the hotel that I need to show up to get spray tan. So I get there and I come walking up and I'm already thinking, okay, you're in shorts, so I'm probably going to be naked, you know, so I need to be tanned everywhere with that. So I'm going to make sure that I'm either that or have some really small bikini briefs.
The listeners are listening.
So I walk into this hotel room and I kid you not, there's 15 dudes ass naked just standing around in a little, you know, single room. I mean, the thing, right. It's no bigger than the living room we're in right now. And we're all standing next to each other and everyone's naked getting ready. And they're just like pumping dudes through to get tan. Well, after you get sprayed, you can't just put your clothes on.
No, you got to wait for it to dry.
You got to wait for it to dry. So,
you're in line. You're in a naked
I'm in a tight
room. You know what this sounds like to me? So let's just picture this, ready?
Right.
A bunch of really lean dudes nude in a line waiting for something.
Yeah.
This sounds like a horrible Japanese porn.
Wait. The music in the background was like,
There was still music.
And you guys are warming up while you're in line.
So talk about the most awkward thing was, you know, I played sports my whole life, so I'm used to showering around other dudes and doing that. That's not the weird part. The weird part is just, normally when you're doing that, right? But when you played sports, you shower, you dry off, you put your clothes, you don't stand around
naked
talking to each other. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing else. It's more awkward not to talk because you're standing almost shoulder to shoulder.
Like, bro, check out my flex.
So yeah, you're looking at each other and you're like, hey, you look pretty good. Hey, yeah, you look good too, man. Hey, you work hard. Yeah, oh yeah. Well, who put your diet to you? Oh, you got all this small talk standing there, ass naked, looking like a brownie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a weird. That was my first experience.
So I had zero interest to compete, and now I have
until less. Yeah, I think you've confirmed.
Now I even have less interest. Like, I didn't have any real interest to compete, and now I fuck know whatever to think about competing.
Yeah, so that was my very first show was like that, and it was quite the experience.
So comparing physique to bodybuilding, because I grew up following bodybuilding. I loved bodybuilders, their routines. Of course, I wanted to build muscles, and at the time, those are the guys that you followed, you listened to. This was during the time of Dorian Yates, which, of course, I think is the most badass Mr. Olympia of all time, probably because he was Mr. Olympia at the time I was, you know, really into it. But nonetheless, are the workouts different then? Do physique competitors train differently then than bodybuilders? Or is the big difference really just about the amount of hormones that they take and the fact that they take more extremes?
Well, I think as a generalization, I think it would be the hormone thing. I mean,
so the workouts are pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think typically everybody does whatever they read in Muscle and Fitness. I think that's why I'm a little bit unique and different. It's also why those that are listening, that are friends or buddies of mine that lift and other competitors, here's my thing. Like, I don't like to lift with other people. I am an all by yourself guy, and I've always been that way. And a lot of that is because I don't. Whenever anyone asks me, like, oh, how do you train? You do a train these days? I don't have this split or full body routine or this like program that I follow, which, not to say that I haven't followed programs and done that before, but I'm constantly, especially now, like I'm into physique, I'm constantly critiquing my physique and looking at its weak points from a symmetry standpoint. And I'm addressing muscles that I think I need to develop more to balance my body out. So does that mean sometimes I work shoulders in a week three times? Absolutely. Does that mean sometimes I go 2 to 3 weeks with not even touching my arms? Absolutely. Does that mean sometimes I work my calves out 4 times in a week? Absolutely. Now, does that mean I always do that? No, not necessarily. Right. I'm always looking and always changing, and I'm addressing that workout according to what I need, and also feeling my body out. If I'm extremely still sore from my leg workout 2 days ago, even though I'm still trying to develop my legs, I might not quite hit my legs yet until I feel fully recovered to hit them. Or maybe my quads are really sore, but my hamstrings aren't. Maybe I'll hit hamstrings and I'll couple it with my biceps today. You know, like I do that on the fly constantly.
Well, I find that most gym rats or guys that work out in the gym, and I see Justin nodding his head because he's probably on the same page as me. Most of them follow splits.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, day one is chest. Yep. Day two is shoulders. Day three is...
Monday's always chest.
Monday's chest day. Why do they start with chest day?
Because
is there any fucking scientific reason? Yeah, it's fun to train. That's the reason. I think that what I found just through my years of training clients is that for most people to build muscle, a full body routine is superior to a split. I think splits got really popular because of the anabolics that entered the fray. People started taking these anabolics, were super anabolic all the time, which means their body wanted to build muscle, and so it became more effective to beat the shit out of one muscle once a week and then focus on the next muscle, hammer it, and then let it rest for a week. Whereas the average natural dude needs more frequent stimulation and maybe less intensity.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to work out just your biceps for an hour. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, no. Well, as far as rest, and you brought that up, I remember the split routine being, because I started out doing splits, and that was the thing that was programmed to me. I just remember going through and destroying the chest with 10 different exercises and just completely annihilating it. And then what? It just completely obliterates you. And then all your synergist muscles at the same time, like my triceps and,
shoulders
and everything, were all burned out. And so this is other programming issues when then you go do an overhead press or something like that, the next day. Me personally, I definitely started to go into more of a total body, workout. And that just the frequency of it, I've seen a lot better results as far as functionality, strength, size personally. But, if you're taking anabolics and all these things, you almost want to, get as much effort as you can into just destroying that one body part, and then you recover so fast.
Well, I think
it
just changes the way your body responds a little bit.
I don't think I would, anabolic or non-anabolic, I don't think I would change my approach to how I still lift. I think where you're about to go with it, I know where you're going, is I think it's a good point. But I still think that the same science applies as far as why you would do your full bodies versus
you have the
volume. And
if you look at you look at non people who don't work out, who have certain muscular body parts, like a mechanic with muscular forearms, for example, or a mail carrier with muscular calves, they have a lot of frequent stimulation rather than the once a week blast of stimulation. And if you look at the way your body builds muscle, because it's an adaptation response, there's really that's why your body builds muscle. It's adapting to a particular type of stress. Well, if we look at all the systems of adaptation in the body, and I've used this example before, if we use the skin, for example, what's going to give you a better tan? If you go out and fry yourself once a week, or if you get a little bit of exposure every day? So it's that frequency of stimulation. I think that frequency principle that we've missed with modern workouts, because we've replaced it with these splits where we beat the crap out of one muscle group. And so I did splits for years on myself, and I switched to a full body routine, old school, Steve Reeves, John, Grimmick, pre-steroid type workout, and boom, I built more muscle. I don't lift to failure. I stop, a couple reps short of it, and I don't do, 18 sets for my chest. I might do 5 or 6. Here's the interesting thing too. When you do a full body routine, you do the same volume per week, roughly. If you hit your chest once a week,
you probably end up doing more, actually.
Maybe, right? If you hit your chest.
That's how I do it.
Yeah. Well, most people, when they hit chest once a week, they might do on average 15 to 20 sets, right? Let's say 12 to 20 sets, 15 being the average. If I work out my chest 3 times a week and I'm doing 5 sets each time, it's the same volume, but I'm getting 3 times a week muscle stimulation. And I think it's important to note that recovery can be completely separate from adaptation, from growth, from muscle growth. And if you don't believe me, do this test for the listeners. Go hammer your legs really hard with an insane workout and then stay in bed for 1 week. Let them recover all you want. Don't move. Literally lay in bed or lay on the couch. I promise you'll be weaker the next workout. You'll recover, but you won't adapt. So they can be completely separate things. And this is where the frequency of stimulation comes into effect, I think, with a full body routine. And it's not true for everybody. Look, some people, everybody responds a little differently to routines, but I found that more frequency with a little less intensity and playing with those two things, you tend to get better results. I mean, I could take a client, a complete beginner, and I can have them do very easy squats every day and they'll be fine. Or I can beat the crap out of them once a week and they'll be destroyed. You know, so it's so I think that's a principle that we're kind of missing today. And I think if people started playing with that full body routine, I think you'd see a good chunk of people would discover that it's more effective for them.
Well, I think it's
And you probably do something similar to that. You're talking about instinctive training, right? Yes. You go in and I bet you train everything
exactly
pretty frequently. Yeah.
So that's here's my thing, and I think we're kind of agreeing on the same thing, just kind of different approaches on it here, because ultimately, things that are important for, you know, stimulating muscle growth is, because you said our bodies are adaptation machines, and so you're throwing something at it, it's adapting to it, then you throw a new thing at it, it adapts to it, and that's what you're constantly doing, and that's what's causing this growth. The other thing that's directly related to that also is volume.
Right.
So, and it's probably, I think volume is the simplest and the most effective singular thing that can affect muscle growth. And the way you measure volume is sets times reps times weight equals your total volume on that. So if you looked back and just like a guy who does splits, like you said, who probably trains chest, let's just say once a week, and he does 20 sets. Okay. He does 20 sets once a week. There's 4 weeks in a month. So he does a total of 100 sets in an entire month. Well, somebody who does a full body routine 3 days a week, I mean, and he's
might do total more volume.
Oh yeah, right. Significantly more volume. You'll probably end up doing 150 to 200, which is you're talking about a 50% to 100% increase. If you just simply increased your volume on specific, so those of you that are listening right now, if you took whatever in how you're working out right now and start tracking for the next, you know, month, if you can, you know, at least 2 weeks, get an idea of your patterns and exactly what Sal's talking about, how many sets that you lift. And then figure out how many reps your weight and multiply that and get your total volume. And when you get your total volume on, we're going to use chest hypothetically. You get your total volume on your chest over the next 2 weeks and figure that out for the month. So let's just say for hypothetical reasons, it's, you know, 10,000 pounds that you lift every 2 weeks on your chest. So a total in the month, you do 20,000 pounds. Increase that number by 15 to 20%, and watch how much change you see.
Right. Adaptation comes from progression.
It's the underlying thing for what we're talking about, really. I mean, the volume definitely plays a major factor in that. I personally, too, like, I fluctuate my intensities quite frequently.
Yeah.
So that's something that keeps me with the ability to recover, just for the simple fact that I'm not, you know, I might beat the shit out of myself, you know, one workout, but then the next one, I'm still moving. But I'm not at that high frequency, you know, I'm not at that high intensity, rather.
Well, I found that a sore muscle, you know, if I go to the gym and my, because oftentimes I'm still sore. I mean, I train my whole body 3 times a week, and oftentimes I'll go in and I'll still be sore. But what I do is I reduce the intensity, and it actually facilitates recovery, and I get another muscle growth response. So just because you're sore doesn't necessarily mean you don't need to train that area. Many times it just means you can move it in a much with less intensity, and in fact you'll find that you recover.
Well, I was going to say, watch yourself, like, you know, go through that for weeks and see how sore you really get. I mean, actual soreness, like I feel when I'm doing a high intensity day, is pretty much diminished. So,
well, I think something that's important to say, though, to what you're pointing out, because you don't want someone to go to the extreme. There's also a fine line there, I believe, where if you let's say you hammer the shit out of your chest or your full body routine, and your chest is extremely sore from that workout, doesn't mean you can't do it again on Wednesday. But if you're looking for maximum strength and growth in that area, hammering it again wouldn't be ideal. Moving it and getting a good workout at a much lower intensity, because then if you were to hammer it all the time, then you're spending more time breaking down and not giving enough adequate rest. So rest and recovery is very, very important. Now, it's not as important as, like, I think a lot of supplement companies out there and a lot of the hoopla that you see.
Well, what is rest and recovery? I mean, like, is that just like sitting on your ass and
no, all not day, at
right?
all. Not
so
at
you,
all.
I mean, they have to understand that, like, rest and recovery can mean functional movements that just, like, you're just moving the joints in order to create lubrication, in order to keep things stimulated.
More blood, more oxygen going back to an area. Because
really, like, yeah, blood and circulation is what helps you heal.
Absolutely.
If you don't have that and you're not moving, then you're not going to heal properly.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. And that's where I'm getting at, is that, you know, how you train, if you're going to train that way, is important to you. You know, you don't take what we're saying that, okay, it doesn't mean you can't go hit that muscle again because you're not super sore. You don't want to be hammering it all the time. I think another common thing, you say splits, guys training to failure all the time. That's like,
oh, that's the biggest mistake.
Everybody think everyone, yeah. that, and I think
every set is to failure.
Oh, and yeah. I think, and that's I a think huge mistake. Instagram, I always love blaming social media on these things because, you know, a couple buff dudes post it and then it becomes this thing, beast mode. And like, yeah. dude, you're a pussy unless you're freaking just, yeah. you know,
I puked and my workout was awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. I tell you what, a handful of dudes I've worked out with that are fit, smart, intelligent guys, you know, working out. And that's how they always train. I'm like, dude, like, that's why I don't train with you or anybody else because mm-hmm. I don't train that way all the time. Does it mean I don't get after it sometimes? Hell yeah. There's mm-hmm. been many workouts I've been hugging a trash can afterwards because I wanted to break myself out. I wanted to shock the shit out of yeah. my system. But then I don't train that way all the time.
I'm no, you won't progress yeah. if you do that.
No, yeah.
I'll say this. I'll make this claim right now, and I'm going to do this. I'll say this just to get – I'm sure I'm going to piss off some people. But if you take 10 people, average dudes or average people, men and women, and you put – or you take 20 of them and you take 10 of them and you put them on a full body routine 3 days a week and the other 10 you put on a split. I guarantee you, on average, the full body routiners will build more muscle, more strength, and be more functional. They will look better and they'll get better results. 8 out of 10 people, I will say, I will bet all day long on this. I'll put money on this. 7 or 8 out of 10 people will respond better to a full body routine that utilizes compound movements and focuses on the big motor, big gross motor movements mm-hmm. versus your typical body part split all fucking day long, especially if you're natural.
Amen.
Here's my one thing though. You got to somewhat challenge that is that you take those same two groups of people that are, you have your one group of person that's doing the full body splits or the splits and the other person that's doing the full body routines. Each of them have been training that way for 6 months. You take the person who's on the full body workouts and you now show them splits on their body and then vice versa. What do you see?
Well, I think within the first, maybe within the first month, you might see some change in both of them. Mm-hmm. But that's just the change. I think if you kept them on the routine.
You're just talking about variability. So you're
yeah, trying to variability shock is one. The system. Variability is definitely one. But I think if you kept them on the routine, I bet you the full yeah. body people
would want to go back. It's the same. It's
but just, you take one concept and you run with it, but then you shock the system yeah. like periodically, right?
But there's so much you can change in yeah. a full body routine. There's so much you could do with the workout. And it's funny. I would say one of the biggest mistakes people make is they listen to the most ripped buff dude in the gym or in the magazine, and that's the guy that they're going to listen to. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because Adam's the most buff ripped dude at the table.
No, you should listen to a guy like me because I'm as buff as all those buff dudes, and you don't see me in the gym half as much as all those dudes are. Because
pissed off a lot of
bro. People. You got to get on the Smith machine. Yeah, that's yeah. what that shit
fuck
is
you,
at.
Adam.
Oh, these people are hella pissed off. That's why you should listen to me because yeah. man, this motherfucker is never in the gym, but he'd be looking like he's in the gym all the time.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.